So we've been talking about spiritual warfare, and put this down. Let me pray. Father, open up our hearts and our minds and our souls to Christ and to all that we have in Him, that we may stand on that and on Him. I pray for this time that You would direct it. And I pray that in Christ's name. Amen. So, spiritual warfare. Where are my glasses? Let's just review while she's doing that. What have we been talking about?
Identity in Christ.
Yeah. Our identity in Christ. That's what we've been talking about. And last week, what did we see? That we are in Christ. Okay. And what else? That Christ is in us. And put those two together and you have kind of 1 + 1 = yeah, that's kind of what this is, right? We are in Christ plus Christ is in us equals our union with Christ. We're one with Christ. Okay? So last week was kind of the big picture in terms of we're one with Christ. We have this union with Christ. Now, over the next however long it takes, we're going to break that down and talk about what does that mean specifically that we're in Christ. What do we have? Because we are in Christ. And so today, you can see on the sheet that we're going to talk about some things that we have. I don't think we're going to cover all of that stuff that we've got there. The first thing on there is number 2, it says, you are redeemed. So the title of the whole thing is In Christ, ... And then you see ... you are redeemed. So in Christ, you are redeemed. In Christ, you are justified. In Christ, you are reconciled to God. And so they sort of, the things we're going to talk about complete the sentence in Christ. So redemption. We need to talk about what redemption is. Redemption is... you were bought. That's what redemption is. There's no such thing as redemption unless there has been a price paid for your head. And let me tell you how redemption was worked in the first century, because to first century audiences, this word redemption means a lot, because they had slavery in their culture. And a person could be freed from slavery by being redeemed. And so generally a relative would buy this person out of slavery. And it happened all the time. And the first century world understands the concept of redemption very well, because slavery was everywhere in the Roman world. And they knew what a redeemed slave was. He was a slave. Now he's free. because someone bought him out of slavery. That's what redemption means. It means you were bought out of slavery and you are now free. We have some scriptures there, and so we're going to look them up. I can't actually read what scriptures we have there. I see Romans 3, 24 and 5, so let's turn there. And actually, we'll just have different people read these. So, Matthew, you do the Romans one. Jim, you do Ephesians 1, 7. Rebecca, Hebrews 9, 12. Maggie, 1 Peter 1, 18. Carissa, 1 John 1, 7. Elizabeth, Revelation 5, 19. So go to the scripture I gave you. And Matthew, read for us.
And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins.
Ephesians 1, 7.
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace.
Hebrews 9, 12.
He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption.
1 Peter.
For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers.
1 John.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin.
Revelation.
I don't see a verse 19, but I'm assuming it's...
Oh, really?
5:9?
Maybe. Does it deal with redemption? Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, that's a typo.
And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation."
Yeah, that's the verse. Okay. Based on all these verses we just read, tell me some things that are true of redemption.
You're bought by blood.
You're bought by blood. There were several of the verses that gave that idea, right? Romans did, Ephesians did, I think 1 Peter did as well. I think Hebrews did too, and Revelation. I think they all did. 1 John did too. Common theme concerning redemption. Redemption and blood in the New Testament go together. Why?
Blood represents the death of Jesus, and so it's saying it's the death that paid the price.
Yeah, that's the price. That's what it cost God to buy you out of slavery. Anything else you see about redemption?
It's a gift.
It's a gift. If you were a slave, you couldn't buy yourself out of slavery. It isn't possible. But somebody else could do it for you. And when they do, that's a gift. It's their gift to you. Your freedom is their gift. Anything else you see about redemption?
Redeemed for God.
We're redeemed for God. That's right. God has bought you for a purpose. He's not just buying you just to buy you. He wants you. Anything else? That's right. We're redeemed with something that's not perishable. A slave in the Roman world was redeemed with gold. That's how they redeemed them. Gold perishes. But the precious blood of Christ doesn't. Okay, anything else? What's that?
It was Jesus' blood. It is here not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by
right.
means of his own.
Right. And yours describes the redemption. What kind of redemption do we have?
An eternal
redemption. Redemption is eternal. It was bought with things that don't perish. And so it's not going away. You're not going to somehow lose this redemption that you've got. What else is true of our redemption? Ephesians 1:7. What's it say? We have redemption through his blood. And he tells us what that is. What is it? The forgiveness of our sins. Redemption and forgiveness go together. Redemption is the foundation for forgiveness. Anything else? So what does redemption then mean for you in terms of your relationship with sin? You're not a slave of sin anymore. Yeah. So what would that mean in practical terms? What's it mean to not be a slave of sin?
Well, I'm freed from the things that try to enslave me.
Okay.
I'm freed from those things.
Okay.
But sin does not have to be my master anymore.
Okay. It's more than just sin does not have to be my master anymore, though. Mm-hmm. That's true. But it's not just sin doesn't have to be my master. Sin isn't your master. Yeah, there's no guilt. Guilt is gone. Punishment is gone. Oh, when a slave is under a master, the master has authority over the slave. And the slave has to do what the master says. When you're redeemed, you are no longer under the authority of the master. The master is not your master. You have a different master now. When you're redeemed, that's what's happened. You have a different master. What does redemption mean for your relationship with God? I'm sorry?
Reconciliation.
Okay, reconciliation.
He's your master now.
He's your master now, yeah. He's the one who bought you. He owns you. How would all this fit in with spiritual warfare now? This idea that you're redeemed. You have been bought with a price, and you are no longer a slave to sin. You have a new master. So what? What's the so what? So you have victory. Okay? Explain what you mean. In what way do you have victory?
Very good question. We can run to Christ.
Okay. Someone else, what is this? How does this fit with spiritual warfare? You are redeemed. How does Satan attack?
But what I'm feeling is, if I don't do anything, I totally agree that Jesus died for our sins and rose again.
Mm-hmm.
But if personally, if I don't do anything, then this redemption doesn't affect my life anything.
Okay. So what do you need to do then?
Then I need to keep praying. I need to fully obedient to Christ.
Okay.
Otherwise, this power doesn't come to my life.
Does this power have anything at all to do with your ability to fully obey Christ? Or are you just going to fully obey Christ on your own, quite apart from this power, and your obedience will apply the power? Is that how it works? Or is it the power that helps you obey?
Sometimes I feel I'm competent to be a child of Christ, but sometimes I feel I just turn to old sinful nature and frustrated.
Yeah.
If the power helped me to obey, to Christ, then why I have the kind of period?
Yeah.
Hard to answer.
So think old master, new master, right? Slave is under old master. He's been freed to serve new master. That action that just happened, does that have any effect on his service to old master or not? What you're saying is, I, Chol, have been redeemed, and I used to be under old master, now I'm under new master, but I still serve old master. That's what you're saying. Okay. So I'm saying the transaction that happened that transferred you from old master to new master, does that have anything at all to do with your ability to serve new master and to stop serving old master?
I have to be aware who is my new master.
Okay, yeah. Suppose a slave had old master, new master, and he'd been freed from old master to serve new master. But he kept going back and serving the old master. What would you say to the slave?
Come back to
master. And why would you say that?
You forgot.
You forgot. I don't understand. That's what you would say to the slave. You would say to the slave, you forgot. What did he forget?
Why did you go back to old master?
Okay, that's my question. That's what you would ask him, right? Why did you go back to the old master? Why would you ask him that question? Sorry.
The old master is tempting.
The old master is tempting? Okay. Actually, that kind of thing happened for a time in the United States after the slaves were freed. They lived under their old master. Abraham Lincoln freed them with the Emancipation Proclamation. And you know what a lot of them did? They stayed working for their old master. That's what a lot of them did. Legally, they were freed. They didn't have to work for the old master in one sense, but they did anyway, because maybe they didn't believe what they had. In redemption, you've got something. I mean, it's powerful. And you were bought with a price, and you are not your own. That's what Paul says. You don't belong to yourself. You don't belong to sin either. Paul says that as well. We are no longer slaves to sin. Romans 6. And so, you're freed. I think sometimes we don't believe it, though. How else would this apply to spiritual warfare?
see it like this. There are only two teams. There's mm-hmm. Jesus' team and there's Satan's team.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus has chosen us to be on his team.
Mm-hmm.
But when we join his team, he retrains us because mm-hmm. we're accustomed to have been on the other team.
Yeah.
And so he retrains us and he gives us his Holy Spirit to equip us to do everything that we need to do.
Yeah.
You know, to be successful on his team.
Yeah.
And so, with him as our coach, if we keep obeying him, he knows how we can be successful and how we can win.
Yeah.
But we have to listen to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good picture.
So your conclusion is we need to obey.
And so I'm going to put that in spiritual warfare context. So Satan knows that if we've been redeemed, we're not on Satan's team. And Satan knows that. But we don't always know that. And Satan wants us to think we're on his team, even though we're not. But he wants us to think we are, so that we will not work effectively for God's team. And he will do everything he can to make you think you're on his team. Or at least you're not on God's team. He may not put in your mind, you belong to Satan. He may not do it that way, because he's more subtle than that. But he doesn't want you to think you're on God's team, and he'll do everything he can to make you think otherwise, because that's how Satan works. He works often through deceit, deception. And so you have old master, new master, you've been freed from old master, you work for new master, but old master is still working on you to make you think you should be doing this stuff over here. Even though old master knows you belong to new master now. Now, redemption, the fact of our redemption is something that we can use in Satan's face. And when he comes and starts accusing us and saying, oh, you don't belong to new master, look what you did. We can say, I'm redeemed. I was bought with a price. That's paid for. Get out of here. I don't belong to old master. I belong to new master. Or when he starts tempting you to do things that are old master things, you can say, that's not me. I'm not on that team. I'm on this team over here. Get out of here, Satan. I'm redeemed. I was bought with a price. And so Satan does that. That's how he works. And that's redemption is really salvation. It's part of, you know, put on the helmet of salvation. It's part of your armor. And it's yours in Christ. It's not yours outside of Christ. We have redemption in Christ. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's Ephesians 1:7. Okay, we're going to stop there. Somebody close us in prayer. Somebody like...